Good morning. It is Wednesday, April 3rd, 2024. You're listening to the Red Sea Roundup. Thank you for joining us. I'm your host, Deacon Mike Beauvais. Today, as always, we have a great show for you. This morning, our guest is Mr. John Pacci, the director of the Brazos Valley Catholic Charities of Central Texas. And we're going to talk all things Catholic Charities. We are live this morning, so if you have a question for Mr. Pacci about Catholic Charities, or if you have a comment, if you had an experience with them that you'd like to share, give us a call, 85 Love Red Sea. That's 855-683-7332. John, how are you this morning?
Deacon Mike, I'm doing great. Thank you. Thank you for having us again.
Well, I think as much good work as Catholic Charities does in our area, it's always a good thing to remind people that you are here, that you're here to help people, and also that people can help Catholic Charities do their work. Right. So it's always a pleasure having you.
Pleasure to be here, always. Thanks.
Now, one of the things that I find astounding is that this is the 25th anniversary of Catholic Charities in Central Texas.
Yes.
How would you describe the last 25 years from your perspective?
Yeah. Well, the fact I've only been around for the first half of 25 years on Earth, right?
Exactly. You're young.
Right. So the first 25 years, you know, there's been a lot of growth, a lot of community help, expansion. Bryan College Station, Brazos Valley, we started out about 15 years ago of that 25. And obviously the last 3 years, we've seen a lot of growth here in our community. And so in 25 years, you can imagine how many families, how many people were impacted and how much our community support us during those times. And think about 25 years. Think of what's been happening or what happened over these past 25 years, especially the last, you know, 4 years ago when we had a pandemic. But prior to that, there were a lot of going on too. So it seems like it never ends. And the pandemic did not release the gas pedal for people who are needing our help. And that's why we're still here. And we want to look forward to the next 25 years, as we say, to make brighter futures for everybody.
Now, I'm quite sure that, you know, there's never been a lack of people who needed help. But when you look at, you know, right now, prices are high, salaries are not rising at the same rate as prices. Has there been an increase in people looking to Catholic Charities for assistance in the last few years?
Yes. Yes. Through what you said, the economy's burdens that are being created, barriers to getting out of that cycle of poverty have increased. And with that comes, where do I get help? And that's what we're here for. And so we have seen an increase in demand. Some of those did not expect in their livelihoods that they would be doing this or, you know, asking for this help. And now we're seeing those continuing. And like I said, the pedal on the gas has not been released, you know, after the pandemic, and because the pandemic caused a lot of issues in its own self. And now we're here and seeing the cost of living, the gas prices, the carton of milk, you know, you name it, the consumer goods going, and then the housing prices, the rental prices haven't stopped either increasing.
Yeah. And I have noticed that one of the things that tends to go up fastest and come down slowest is the things that people really need day to day.
Correct.
Housing, staple groceries, gas prices,
utilities,
those sort of things.
Yes.
Utilities.
Yes.
Those things tend to rise faster and drop slower. And I think that, again, accentuates the need for Catholic Charities in our community.
Yes, absolutely.
Now, we talked about this being the 25th anniversary or birthday of Catholic Charities. Now, you had a whole week of celebration for this.
We did.
Talk about that a little bit.
Yes, that was fun. So the week of March 18th, we started celebrating our 25-year anniversary / birthday. We did many of things. We did a staff appreciation day, where members of our board were able to, you know, offer, you know, little different food items and just, you know, show appreciation for the staff who works very hard with these families every day. And then on March 19th, lo and behold, Feast of St. Joseph, we had our birthday celebration where we received over 200 donations of games. And now why we did the game theme, it take it back to family nights and family connections. Our family, the core families, seem to be getting more and more broken as we're going along, right? Or as we've seen sort of a regression in family connectivity and unity. So we wanted to help reform that and re-engage families to have a family game night. We talk about how long we've been here on this earth, and we remember those nights, right? And so a lot of people who donated remember the game that they used to play, or games, and that's inspired them to donate those games. So we saw a host of different games. And the fun part was we had volunteers wrap these as happy birthday gifts. So they were wrapped and presented to the clients when they came in for their consultations with our case managers. They received a birthday gift on behalf of Catholic Charities in the form of a game so that they can reconnect.
Did you get any responses from people getting the board games?
I have not seen any response, like immediate, as far as are we playing the games and all that. Yeah. That's through follow-up, and we have surveys that we're rolling out now, which is great to hear back on how we're doing, and I'm sure we'll be hearing some of those. So I'm going to look forward to hearing about those stories for sure.
So just curiosity, what was your favorite board game?
You know, we played a few of them. I remember playing the Trivial Pursuits, and I know I'm probably going to age myself with these games, but I'll lean in on my wife here. She said she used to play Scrabble, and I was like, boy, I would have been terrible. You'd have won every time if we played those games together, the Scrabble game. So Trivial Pursuit, and I think we used to play the, what was that one? Oh, boy. Yahtzee with the dice. Yes. Used to play that too. That was fun. That's going back, you know, years. But anyway, it was fun. And just to see, I did get immediate responses when I was handing out the gifts. I could see, you know, the happiness and the joy in the families when they were receiving the gifts. I was able to do them firsthand. So that was fun.
I really like the idea of the board games, and because of the idea behind it of putting down electronic devices, turning off the TV, and bringing families back together. And I think this is one of the things that's indicative of our culture being so dispersed, is that we don't have that connection anymore that we formed when I was young, that, you know, you sat together as a family at the table, and you ate a meal, and you talked, and
yes.
Matter of fact, it's where I learned English. My dad taught us English at the supper table. We had to spell words like pneumonia.
Oh, man.
Things, you know, where is there a P in pneumonia? But anyway.
Oh, you'd have killed it in Scrabble after that. Pneumonia.
So, but handing those games out is such a nice step in that direction of bringing families back together, which is so much of what Catholic Charities is trying to do is help families.
Yes.
What are some of the other ways that Catholic Charities is working right now to assist families in these times?
Yeah, so I'll start by saying we have been doing this and we'll obviously continue to do this. April is Financial Literacy Month, and we have one of our programs in our organization that is financial stability. So we're offering our free classes starting tomorrow online. This is for anybody to take. This is not just for our clients. If anyone in the community says, I want to go take a class, they can sign up and take a virtual class. We also offer one-on-one consultations through budgeting and management of debt, tips on how to do that. And just like you said earlier, just fine-tuning those needs and assessing what are the needs versus the wants, and going through that exercise. And doing that, we live by what we say we do, and we engage, educate, and empower. And through education, they become empowered. Our families are empowered now. They have more knowledge. They're able to adapt. and fulfill some of the obligations that they need to make for their families and the tough decisions they have to make. And so services in financial stability, the education literacy part is a big component that complements that utility assistance, that rental assistance. And, you know, talking about the utility assistance, you know, some may think utility bill, oh, you know, that's not a big deal. It's a big deal. Think about lights, think about gas, you know, in your home that you kind of take for granted, but you still have to pay for them. Some of these families are having to make tough decisions. You know, what do I spend? What do I decrease it so I can increase towards paying this utility bill? Well, we're here to help you with that utility bill so we can take that decision off the table, and then you can be less pressured into being able to, you know, spend your money on what is needed other than the utility bill we've helped you with. So I want people to understand how important that is too. So it's a big deal. So Financial Literacy Month, April, we're celebrating that in a way of continuing our core of service with financial stability and that element of education.
But I think that's such an important aspect of what Catholic Charities does, because almost everything in our culture comes down to finances. And, you know, teaching families how to look at their finances and prioritize is so important, because it is so easy to get caught up, I need another iPhone rather than I need to pay the utility bill, that, you know, somebody to assist you in deciding how you make those decisions.
Yes, and I think
it's really helpful.
And for most people, most of us, we learn visually and we can see visually. And if it's put it on paper, where the money's going and where it's, how it's coming in and what's, how much is coming in. You see all of that formed on paper. It makes it an easier process, or a simpler process. It's not that easy, but it's a simpler process to, you know, decision make.
And I wanted to get back to the utility assistance because we're in Texas. We're hurtling towards summertime.
Oh, yeah.
And usually houses in the neighborhoods where some of our clients live aren't the best insulated, so
correct,
their utilities tend to be higher in comparison to other places.
Yes.
So no fault of their own that they're getting much higher utility bills than you might think. And so being able to assist them is such a benefit for them. And of course, you have a partnership with the utility companies.
Yes, yes.
Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, so BTU is one of them, and BTU had a program that they started up, they're piloted, and we were the exclusive partner for this pilot program where they, you know, customer assistance. So their customers, or anybody in the public, you and I could do this too, if you're not even a BTU customer, could offer a donation. And if you are a customer, you can round your bill or add a nominal amount. And what they do with that, those funds is directed straight to us so that we can direct it straight back to the utility company, but it's on the behalf of the families who need it the most. And so it's kind of a way of getting the community involved to help. And we're proud that BTU, you know, offered it to us to, you know, it was a competitive process, but we won out in the end, and we got it. We got the ability to, or opportunity to do this. And so we've been doing this for the past, going on almost 6 months as time flies. And we've seen a lot of people getting help through that particular way of avenue of you know, assistance.
Now, obviously, this requires people knowing it's available for them, which, again, why we have you here on the radio.
Yeah.
So people become aware that there is assistance available, and it's not just utility assistance.
Right.
We were talking about the financial literacy and learning how to budget and things like this, but also for young mothers.
Young mothers.
You have training programs. Speak a little bit
about
that.
Yeah, and that overlaps into financial education.
Yes.
They take those classes too. So our we call the St. Gabriel Pregnancy and Parenting Program offers parents of children 36 months, you know, up to 36 months in and into pregnancy for classes. And the cohort of classes are health related. You know, they're learning how to raise, you know, rear healthy children. But then it's also health onto the parents too. And that is done through partnerships that we have. We've partnered with and still are partnering with Texas A&M AgriLife Extension. They do a six-week curriculum on growing garden healthy foods. And the Brazos Valley Food Bank is also partnered to teach nutrition and recipes, you know, healthy recipes so that they can cook for their families. So it's not all food, but those are some health related. Of course, WIC is another partner of ours that provides, you know, healthy ways to feed the babies and so on and so forth. And then internally, we have our own classes too. And I think what we see in that is another empowerment opportunity with knowledge, with education. And this program here in our community is really, really strong and has done a great amount of work in doing that. So many stories to talk about, and we'll talk later about our event coming up. We'll see firsthand from our case manager talking about one of her families that she helped and the power the empowerment that we gave to them. Yeah.
And I think this is one of the things we get to see at your benefit dinner, the responses from people that have gone through the program or have been assisted by Catholic Charities and the impact it's made on their lives.
Yes.
And I think for me, that was one of the most eye-opening things, because it's very easy for me on an intellectual level to understand the good you do. But those opportunities to hear it on an emotional level changes your perspective on what it is that Catholic Charities does.
Yes. I think what, at least from my experience too, just not even work, because I work in it every day, I see it every day. But then when I see and hear someone speaking in those terms of how they were impacted by Catholic Charities and services, it is enlightening. It's always an enlightening moment. It's a awakening that this is real and this is our real problems. And these, you know, families are not choosing to get into these predicaments and crises. But then to hear them, how they've come out of it with the help of Catholic Charities, it is emotionally changed in how you think of things and how you see things perspectively.
Wanted to go back a little bit to the community partners.
Mm-hmm.
How do you go about reaching out to these partners, and what kind of response have you been getting back?
Yeah, so they actually pick up the phone when I call. So
you must be doing something
right. You know, that star 60 or whatever. No. So it is a fine way of engaging in the community when you know the credible partners we engage with want to do the same mission, not without with doing different services, if that makes sense. So we want the same outcome for our families. That's a mutual agreement that we have. And we don't do everything, right? So we have to rely on our partners. So how we do it is first, engagement. I've partnered with, or we, Catholic Charities, has partnered with United Way of Brazos Valley for many years. That is a big help because, you know, I get to go to a meeting every 2 months and be with other directors in the community who are running their programs and their nonprofits. And there's about 26 or 27 of us. And we can talk. And of course, interimly, we talk too.
Sure.
But being able to come as a group and see the challenges that are faced, challenges that the nonprofits are faced with, and then also communing with the challenges our families are faced with is really powerful. And so that's one way that there's doing the outreaches like we do with our events, our open house. Deacon Mike attended, for y'all to know. He supports us, and he came to our open house. And we had many people show up that day. It was a beautiful day to see people showing up. Many of those attendees are our nonprofit friends and supporting us, and we support them by going to theirs in turn and just staying in touch that way. And I think the best way, too, is when I do find a good partner that we're going to rely on them to help their families get our type of service, is to then connect them with our caseworkers themselves, and they can work together.
And I think this is such a wonderful idea, because one of the issues that you always deal with is redundancy of effort.
Yes.
And so being in communication with other nonprofits helps you direct your services where you're not doing the same thing rather than each being able to do what they do best.
Yeah. Yeah, it's the best single approach. You know, you do one service for one family, and that family, you know, we want to make sure we're not duplicating, we're not overlapping, and then it kind of is counterproductive in that regard when you start doing that.
Right.
Yeah. So communication is critical.
Yes. And I think it's wonderful that you have the opportunity to meet with the other nonprofits.
Yes.
And brainstorm and see what works, what doesn't work, and things like that.
Oh yeah, it's really a fluid, you know, cycle. And St. Vincent de Paul is another.
Right.
You know, they pick up the phone, they call us. They know that they can trust us, and we can trust them. And the families are in good hands because of it.
Now, let's fast forward to Creating Hope in the Brazos Valley.
Yeah.
Which is coming up quickly. It's April 19th.
Tell me about it.
Yes. So this year it's at the Stella Hotel.
Yes.
And 5:30 to 8. So talk a little bit about, one, what you're hoping to see response-wise and what people can expect when they come.
Yeah, great play on words, hoping to see, Creating Hope. I love it. Creating Hope is our annual event. What we're hoping to see is full attendance from our community to learn about us. Learn what you don't know. You know, you talked about hearing and seeing and witnessing a live testimony. You're going to see that. We've accomplished many things throughout this year. We do this every year, and we want to show what we've done every year. And one of the ways to do that is to have someone talk about what they went through and where they came from and now where they are with the help of Catholic Charities. And we want to do it in a fun way and celebratory way. And 25 years is something to celebrate too, right? And so we're doing a lot of new things this year. We are offering a ticket price where we've never done this before. It used to be free. So now we're doing, you know, you can pay $25, $40 for a couple, a Friday night at the Stella, heavy hors d'oeuvres, open bar, and, you know, you get to have a good time learning about us. What else I'd like to see accomplished is we do need our community support, and whether it's financially, volunteership, you're going to learn all about that when you attend. We have a great lineup of gifts that we're going to do raffling for. We've never done that before, so that's new. And just so everyone who is listening today, live right now, knows that on April 3rd, your day to register, you will receive an additional raffle ticket for a prize awarded by the Stella Hotel, the staycation that they've given us to offer as a gift. So you get to stay at the hotel for free if you win that prize. You have to be present to win, obviously, but you get an extra ticket if you sign up today.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
So, see, it pays off to listen to Red Sea.
Red Sea, that's right. And, you know, the lineup is great this year. We've got the benefit of having Rusty Surrett from KBTX emceeing for us. And Deacon Frank Ashley, as everyone knows, I think everyone knows. He's back again. He's always been there for us and supporting us through his efforts at the event and you know, doing his part. And if you saw our Facebook posting the other day, it showed our case manager from our parenting program, Nancy. She's going to be speaking on behalf of one of her clients, and the story to tell is just fun to go there just for that reason alone. And if that wasn't enough, we also have a client speaking about his own. So we have two. So that's new. We've never done a dual service. So two different services being talked about, one by the client and one by our case worker.
But that brings me back to what I was saying earlier, is the fact that you have the opportunity to put a face to the efforts of Catholic Charities, because it is so easy sometimes to just say, well, they help people.
Yes.
And that sort of doesn't have the same impact as helping Joe or helping Amanda or helping, you know, somebody that you see and then hearing the effect that it has had on their lives.
Yes. I agree. And to see is believe, right? Of course, we have faith where we don't see, and we have to have that faith. And we do. And in this term, though, it's going there and saying, wow, this is a real person in front of us telling us a story that is legitimately what happened to them and where they are, to see it is there's no other way to describe it, you know, than it's not a general, it's helping people, right? It's the real person right in front. And you get to meet them, talk to them. And again, at the same time, before all that program starts, you have fun and mingle and network. And we want to offer a nice celebratory Friday evening at the Stella for everybody.
Well, just from the description, it sounds like a wonderful evening.
Yeah.
And I encourage everyone to go online, get a ticket.
Yes.
And be prepared. And especially if you do it today, you get an extra raffle ticket.
I'm telling you.
Yes. Now, speaking about personal testimonies, we had talked about the April Financial Literacy Month, and you had a story.
Yes, we do have a story. I have many stories, but this story really stuck out to me, and I wanted to share it with everybody today. We had a client who was impacted by the pandemic, so much so they were hospitalized in a coma for several months. And that alone is, you know, a big life challenge, right? And, you know, that supersedes any financial troubles when you have to fight to live in a coma. Thankfully recovered, and but had to relearn walking, had to relearn all the basics that we take for granted. And, you know, dressing themselves, all that. The place where they were employed closed. And that was also due to the pandemic. So now no income. So here we are. You know, it doesn't get any worse, right? I mean, here we... So once getting the help and therapy, physical therapy, and getting all that back going, realized needed help. And found their way to us. And of course, the debt help was necessary to, you know, prevent any evictions, the utility assistance that we talked about earlier. And along with that, the educational piece of how to manage this debt that was not, again, this person's fault. And so from coma to now living in financial stability through education, our free classes and our free one-on-one course really was the benefactor to their success, part of the success, because guess what? They have to do the work too, and the discipline it takes. And so to come out of that life-threatening episode and then come to us, and we're able to serve this person because of financial literacy, they're now up and going, they've got a job, and you know, talk about a hearing back from, that's a great hear back from. And they were able to tell that story and share that story with us because they were impacted so much. They needed to tell us, you know, how grateful and thankful they were. And concurrently, they are stable, both financially and healthy, health wise.
This is what's so wonderful about what you've been describing is, you know, it goes back to that old anecdote about, you know, give a man a fish, feed him for a day,
yes.
Teach a man to fish, feed him for a lifetime. And so that's sort of the goal of Catholic Charities.
True.
By these programs is, yes, there's immediate financial assistance, but then here, let's make sure that we get you to the point where you don't need any more.
Yeah. If everyone thinks about empowerment, think about that part, and you become empowered if, And I'm not dismissing giving a check to a landlord or a rent company or whatever and paying for that person's to keep them from evicted. I'm not diminishing that at all. But think about the empowerment now is given because you're educating them. And now they can take and make decisions, informed decisions, so that they are better and getting out of that cycle of poverty. And they will get out of that cycle of poverty. They continue what they've learned and apply it. And that's really what we're trying to do. That's the end result that we're all hoping for. And we've seen a lot of that happen, thankfully.
John, can I ask a question real quick?
Sure.
Do you ever see, I know Catholic Charities, you're offering help to anyone. It doesn't matter if they're Catholic or not.
Yes, sir.
But do you ever see Catholic Charities as kind of like the initial point of contact for someone in the Catholic faith and see conversions as a result of that?
I want to answer your question. If you mean conversion, tell me what that means.
Like conversion to the Catholic faith.
Ah, got it. Yeah. So great question, actually, Cabe. So what we offer to everyone is true. We offer to anyone. We don't ask. But now if someone unsolicitedly says, you know, can we pray, or we can pray with them, we don't offer that pray, you know, because again, we don't want to hurt anybody's feelings or whatever. So they want to pray, yes. And then to see true conversions come out of that, I cannot, I've been in your Catholic Church 7 years. I cannot pinpoint or heard a story where someone did convert, but I will say this. I have heard, I'm interested in the Catholic faith. What, you know, and then they can learn that way. But going through the RC, I don't know of those. Not to say it hasn't happened, Caleb, but I'm willing to, I'm not a betting person, but if I were a betting person, I'm willing to bet that, that we've made some impacts that way. Again, unsolicitedly and through faith and Holy Spirit. Yes. Great question. And we hope for that, but that's not, of course, the
that's
ultimate
the goal.
That's not the mission or goal, but boy, we, you know, the more the merrier, right?
Right. Of course.
Yeah, for sure. Thank you. That's a great question.
And that's always been the way the Catholic Church has gone about its business. It's, we see this in the saints, Peter Claver and those whose efforts were to help the person.
Yes.
And thereby share Christianity in the action,
yes,
not in the words. And so this is, again, Catholic Charities serves that purpose.
Yes.
We help our neighbor, no matter what their background is, no matter what their faith background is. They come, they get help.
Right.
No questions asked.
Yes.
And they see what the Catholic Church stands for by that action.
Right. It's a great representation. And we stand by the Catholic social teaching. That's the principles these are built on. These you know, education systems that we offer to the clients. And
Bishop Joe will be happy to hear that.
Yes. Yes.
Now, I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit. We know that the Catholic Charities office in Waco is reasonably new, and we have, part of our station is in Waco, so I thought we'd talk a little bit about how's it going up there. Do you know anything about it?
Well, I try to stay in touch with it. Yes, absolutely. I mean, I am able to stay in touch with it, so I do. Obviously, my focus is here in Brazos Valley, and the Waco office has, so let me just, from a operational standpoint, we receive those calls from time to time. So I know what's going on that way too, because the calls can funnel and, you know, people needing help and they dial numbers and get to us. So we're able to respond and get to that. So how we mostly are working with clients is remotely. Our Gabriel Project program does interchange from Killeen office to Waco. So there's an alternation there so that we can support both areas. It's because we have Killeen and we have Waco. And Waco is being supported by way of, the virtual help and then going and meeting them. We also have our counseling services that go to Killeen. And then they can also offer Waco, if Waco is in need too, they can do virtual sessions that way as well. And I think we're just, you know, at the tip of the iceberg of the Waco expansion. And Killeen, again, I think the last time I was here, we talked about Killeen kicking off and going into that. So that's been going well and strong, and as things take time and progress, we will see hopefully more growth in the Waco area to serve. We follow where the service is needed. That's why we have an office in Waco. That's why Red Sea wants to go out and serve in Waco, because we know the need out there and the community serves out there and the community involvement. I do know that. So we are holistically helping in Waco. In mainstream is virtual right now.
Right.
But again, we do have presence alternating between the two offices.
Is the hope to expand both Killeen and Waco into having full staff, at least there?
Yes. So I think the answer would be yes, based on Killeen, and I don't know the count exactly, but we have about 7 or 8 that work out of that office now through our various programs, our veterans program, and so on and so forth. Mm-hmm.
Very good. Think that as the need expands, it's nice to see Catholic Charity is expanding to fill that need. And again, we were talking about Catholic social teaching, and this is such a good example of what that means and what it looks like, is to go out, find the need, and help.
Correct. Yeah, and do it with the services that we know we can do best.
Right, which for instance, Killeen, many veterans.
Sure.
So
yeah,
much more emphasis on veteran service, although we have veterans here too.
Absolutely. But, yes, we do.
You know, a different lead perspective, but yes, certainly finding the need and taking care of it.
And the office spaces are great, and it's great to meet the clients in person, one-on-one and all that. But, you know, virtual is being more adopted throughout our culture.
Yes.
And so we're glad we can do that in that way too. And I think that's one thing we learned from the pandemic is people had to adapt that way through even their own work and how to make an income. They needed to work from home by force, you know, and so people are now adapting that way, and we're able to do that. And it's nice to be able to have both opportunities to offer these people.
Well, one of the nice things about being able to do things virtually is for those clients that have travel issues.
Correct.
Transportation issues.
Absolutely. Yes.
It makes that possible to have counseling services and things that might not be possible because they don't have transportation.
Totally agree with that. Yeah. Especially, you know, in the other areas that we see a lot of traffic and larger area to cover, transportation barriers is an issue.
Yes. Well, we're getting down to the last 5 minutes of the show. So what I would like to do, yes,
time flies. Yes, we're having fun, of course.
Yep. So I want to go back to creating hope in the Brazos Valley.
Yes, sir.
And give us the details again. So
yeah. So let's start with the where. It's at the Stella Hotel. And the when, April 19th, 5:30 p.m. to 8 p.m. roughly. You get there around 5:30 and you can start networking and having drinks and heavy hors d'oeuvres and hear a great program. We're offering a lot of gift prizes through raffle. You're going to see Deacon Frank Ashley up there speaking. You're going to see our MC, Rusty Surrett, who's out in the community always from KBTX, who's granted us his time. And fun event, I think. Before I, you know, miss anything, we used to be on a radio only, and I could bring notes and not worry about it. And so just forgive me. I'm looking at notes. Just I just want to make sure I don't miss anything from our marketing team because, you know, I'll hear from them.
That's right.
Yeah. But you can register online, most importantly. And today you get an extra raffle ticket if you do it today. And raffling online, you can go to our website. That is CCCTX, like Texas abbreviation, .org, CCCTX.org, and you can register right there online.
Do you know what the capacity is for the room at the Stella?
So 250-ish.
That's a good number.
It's a good number. Yeah, jokingly said we can, you know, expand that and make it a problem, but, you know, or bring more people than 250 and make it a problem. But, you know, no. But we'd love to see as many people that can make it. And again, if you had one question about Catholic Charities, you'll get the answer that night. So just come on out and have a good time on us and enjoy it.
And I challenge everybody to make it where John has to roll out more tables.
Yes. So. Yes. And we'll video that and you can see me the hard labor sweating.
So again, April 19th. Which is a Friday, so
it's a Friday night. Thank you, Mike. Yeah,
yes. Someone listens.
Yes, we listen to feedback here.
Yes, and 5:30 to 8 again, Stella Hotel at 4100 Lake Atlas in Bryan. Beautiful area.
Yeah, just a real quick description. There's a courtyard, and if weather permitting, we'll pray to God that we get good weather. We can use that courtyard outdoors during the network time, you know, hanging out time before the program starts.
Which being April, possibly we have very nice weather.
Yeah, there's a possibility. And they have a great restaurant there. Yes. It's a great coffee shop there. It's really a very nice hotel.
Well, just tell Rusty Surrett to tell Shell Winkley to make sure we have nice weather.
That's right. We'll get that. Yeah, I'll probably see him tomorrow, and we'll make sure we make that demand.
There you go.
Yes.
So again, the extra raffle ticket, if you sign up today, so go online, purchase your tickets. You get an extra raffle ticket. And I hope everyone chooses to come support Catholic Charities, because as you heard on the program, they have so many things that they are doing for our community, and they're trying to make sure that they can continue to do that.
Yes, we want to help more. Yeah, our vision is to help more this year than we did last. I want to thank everyone in the community that has supported us and that will come out on that night too in advance. I want to thank you.
So, in the last 2 minutes, briefly, what would you like our listeners to know about Catholic Charities that they might not?
Yeah. Know that we are serving everyone in need, And that is all seven of our services. Go to our website. There's a lot of information out there that I couldn't do in 2 minutes. But I will say that everyone that comes to us who is in need, they leave. I see them. I see them leaving smiling. I see them understanding that they have gotten quality of service. And to know Catholic Charities of Central Texas, especially here in the Brazos Valley, is to know Catholic Charities Central Texas, Brazos Valley. We have many Catholic charities across the country, all doing different things, sometimes the same things, but your Catholic Charities is right here in Brazos Valley, and we're here to help and serve. And give me a ring if you have any questions too. So I'm here to serve our community and love our community, and I'm blessed to be here for 3 years now.
I want to thank you very much for coming on the show. It's always a pleasure to talk to you. It's always interesting to hear what's going on at Catholic Charities. And one of the things that, allows us to do this is community support.
Yes.
And so the same thing for Catholic Charities, as much as, Red Sea is a nonprofit that needs community support.
Yes.
Catholic Charities needs community support. Best way to do this is, of course, creating hope in the Brazos Valley. Buy your tickets, come out, find out what's happening, and open bar, great food.
Great time, yeah.
Great time had by all.
And thank you, Red Sea. Thank you.
Yeah. We are going to take a short break, and we'll see you all on the other side. Don't go anywhere. We will be right back. All this side.